Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, today and go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. In your Bibles. And appreciate everybody being here, all the work that's been done. And I know that sometimes when we get the announcements, it would seem that we are announcing ourselves through the hour. Amen. But when you have a church that is busy, we're trying to get other people to join in with us and do what we're doing. Amen. That takes some time to make sure that everybody is on the same page. Acts chapter number 1. I'm going to be moving around through the scripture today. If you'll mark that, and then also mark, if you're like me, you have some things in your filing cabinet. That's what I call my Bible. I file some things in there, right? So you got either a ribbon or something to mark. Then go over and mark Matthew 28. We will go over there quickly today. At least that's my plan. And I don't know how that'll work. And we're limited in our time. But I want to start out, if you have, once you mark those things, and I'm going to read one verse in Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews. That's a good name for a cafe, right?
Yeah.
Is that what everybody said?
Yeah.
Amen. Hebrews. I like it when she brews instead of I have to brew. Amen. But that's just me. Hebrews chapter number 13. This is where we'll read one verse. And the title of the message today, for the tape room and for everybody today, and then we'll try to bring this throughout the message today, is this same Jesus. This same Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, we'll read it and then we'll pray and then we'll get to preaching. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, if you haven't found it, just listen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad that he's still the God of the mountain. He's still the God in the valley. He's the God of the day. He's the God of the night. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your many blessings. Lord, this morning I thank you for the opportunity to just be your messenger boy, to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. God, I ask you to help me do. Lord, just let me preach what you put upon my heart this morning, Lord. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that anything else that you would like to be said, Lord, I pray that you would do, Holy Spirit, that you would work in the lives of people today. If there's one in the auditorium that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that saints will be edified and that the church would grow because of what is preached today. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you go into the hearts of the hearers and do the work that I cannot do. Lord, I pray that you draw all men to this same Jesus. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 1. We've been teaching this in a class, and so without trying to sound redundant if you were in there, the book is written to, again, a man named Theophilus. The book of Luke is also written to the same man. But the book is God's Word. Both books are written to give all that we could know and hear about the Jesus that we have never seen. About how he came from heaven, how he died on Calvary, how he rose again and on that third day. But then both books cross over on his ascension. The book of Acts opens up, and as he is writing again to this one man, and if you're taking the class, you realize that maybe it wasn't just one man. The name itself means Theophilus, God lover, or lover of God. The book is written to those that love God. So the book of Acts is written to us, and for all of us, as it opens up, it is explaining and trying to tell us, look in verse number 1, all that Jesus began to both do and teach. That's what the book of Luke was, but then it ends with his ascension. But what Jesus began did not end. Today we meet in his church. This same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, gave his doctrine a great commission that we continue and carry on today. This same Jesus began to both do and teach. Do you know when we get to Matthew 28, and that'll be, I'm not trying to jump ahead of myself, but folks, he commanded us to continue doing what he did. and to continue to teach what he taught them. That we would continue here in this book. We get in chapter 2, the church continues in the apostles' doctrine. Where did they get that doctrine? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Peter didn't start the church, this same Jesus did. Look at verse number 1, and when we finish that, it said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Look at verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them with white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come, if I could say, to you in like manner, amen, as ye have seen him go into heaven. Listen, I don't know about you folks, but when I read the scripture and I realize that Jesus not only promised that he would come and get his church, but then as he ascended, he reminded his church, I gave you a commandment. It's a great commission to go into all the world and to teach, we find in the book, right? In Matthew 28. And then in Matthew 16 or Mark 16, we find him say, to go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, I want you to understand that this same Jesus is going to come again.
That's right.
Do you know it's important for us to realize and to focus in that this isn't all there ever is going to be? That this life and everything, as we head into a brand new political cycle, without a doubt, if we're not careful, everything about who we are will be tied up in the next 4 years, the next 8 years, the next 10 years, the next 12 years, when eternal things could be just around the corner. Now, if you think I'm telling you not to go vote, you have lost your mind. Because we've been through a few cycles since Jesus came. In truth, all of America's cycles have happened since Jesus came the first time. He said, but preacher, do you think he could come again? Well, unlike some of our forefathers, like some of the good ones, you know, the ones that they want to tear their statues down because they found some one thing wrong with them. They didn't like to read the books about all the right things they did. They listened to some pervert professor that taught at a secular, wicked college who tore down those that we hold in great esteem because of one sin. Now, let me tell you, if we were to open the closet on that professor, what would we find? Right? But a lot of those men said this same Jesus, they believed he would come again. And then during that time of American history, all of a sudden a time came where the unthinkable but had been predicted happened. All of a sudden Israel became a nation again. And what people thought could never happen, happened just like God said it would. And all of a sudden, I mean, one thing after another, You know, we have a, it's so much easier now that we can take out our computer that we carry in our pocket, right? And now the world knows exactly how many earthquakes are going on. And natural disasters happen. And Jesus said before he returned, those things were going to increase and increase and increase. So if we were to expect Jesus at any time, first of all the predicted things that he said were going to happen had to come. Israel had to be restored. Hey, folks, all these earthquakes and all the things that are happening around the world that now you can get a hold of and you can see it happening in your hand. And you can prepare to see the day. How in the world, boy, when I was a boy, I thought maybe the television was the thing that everyone would see in the tribulation period. As the two witnesses were dragged through the streets, I thought, man, everybody's going to see them on the television. And now, listen, I don't even know. I'm scared to death of the time we live. I'm thinking they're going to start putting chips in people's brains. And you're going to be able to see it. Instead of carrying it in your hand, folks, if you don't mind people shooting your arm with some things that you have no idea what's going in, if they said, we're not going to give you a cell phone, listen, some of you had trouble when you made the change from a smartphone to a flip phone, or as some of us call it, a dumb phone to a smartphone, or a dumber phone, right? Hey, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, there are some of you that couldn't believe, there's no way I want that television in my pocket. I don't want somebody tracking me and be able to tell where I was. But folks, if they tried to take it from you today, most of fundamentalism would surrender everything because of the affection that they have for a cell phone. I can't live without it. Hey, I remember a day when I didn't have one. It was a slower America than we have today. I still ate. We still had a house. The family still got everything done. And I know every one of us are. We can't imagine how we would do the business that we do today without it. But everything got done before we had one. I think people are just a little better organized. Or maybe we just set out to do one thing instead of 20 things. You say, preacher, you up there preaching against cell phones? No. I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age, instead of thinking every moment about how this election is going to change everything, in the midst of that, we ought to realize this same Jesus is on his way back.
Amen.
And he's closer than he's ever been before. And it's not what this election is going to do, but you know what the people do with Jesus that will change everything about this world. You know, most of the elected officials usually stand on one side or the other of the campaign, and they manipulate or work one theme or the other. Now, we like to vote for the one that loves the Bible, right? Or at least say they do. That will vote the values that we see written in the scripture. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, we cannot trust any man except for Jesus. This same Jesus is coming back one day. You say, well, you got a great governor. Man, do we have a good one. And we got a good sheriff. Folks, but that's only one election away from changing all those things. But there's one man that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the same Jesus. I want you to see here in the scripture, you know that this same Jesus started his local church. Between Matthew 16, 18 and Matthew 18, 17, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And before we got to Matthew 18, 17, he said, if you've got a problem, you take it to the church. So if you're looking for a place where Jesus started the church, there's where you need to look to see it. You say, oh, well, preacher, I've heard everybody say that it started at Pentecost. Where was Jesus? I've read chapter 2 of the book of Acts. He left in chapter 1. He left so he could send a comforter. He left not so he could start the church, because he started the church. Then he purchased the church with his own blood. As he went to Calvary, he redeemed that church that he started. And then he rose again by his own power. And then in Matthew 28 says, all power is given unto me and in heaven and in earth. Listen, folks, we have no power to serve God in our own. But we have a mighty God who sent power from heaven in the power of the Holy Ghost to indwell in live and work inside of the believer, that we might fulfill the greatest commission ever given to any army, and that is the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This same Jesus started his church. This same Jesus redeemed his church. This same Jesus empowered his church when he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us and live in us and help us, really, if I could say it this way, to condition us against the world's onslaught. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in this current wicked age without the indwelling Holy Spirit? I can try to imagine, but one day I'm going to sit and I'm going to talk to Noah and find out what it was like. Say, preacher, yeah, it's going to be like that. He not only empowered his church, but he purposed his church. Do you realize that any large corporation or organization has to have a purpose? They have to have a theme or something they get behind and that they seek after to do, that they combine together to succeed and to accomplish. And the church has been given a purpose, and we are no organization. Army falls short of what we are. We're an organism. A body of believers joined together in Jesus Christ, who is our head. And we march not like army as several people. We march together as one army. We march together with one theme, with one heartbeat, and it's souls, souls, souls. If we echoed our marching orders, it would be Luke 19:10, seeking to save that which is lost. Folks, there's a day coming when Jesus, this same Jesus who left, will come in like manner. And all that will matter, it won't be who we voted for, although it could affect us, right? I don't think I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, maybe we will. Wouldn't that be something if we voted our pocketbook instead of the Bible? Wouldn't it be something if we voted... Oh, well, let me get back on track. This same Jesus. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Our motives matter, folks. You say, but voting matters. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed. You say, but I didn't think when I got to heaven I was going to be judged for my sin. You won't, because this same Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid to cover every one of your sins. But now that you're saved, you have an opportunity to serve him. And he will take every one of those opportunities and he will measure them at the judgment seat of Christ. So it brings me to my next point. This same Jesus will judge the saints. This same Jesus will judge the sinner at the great white throne judgment. You want to know what his measuring stick will be for both sides? This book right here. Say, preacher, you really believe that? Oh, man. This same Jesus is coming again to get his church. But you know what he wanted his church to know before he left, before he came back to get them? Turn with me to Matthew 28. I mean, you say, well, preacher, this is a simple message. Well, I'm just a simple person preaching to a simple church about a simple book and about a simple salvation. You know, in Matthew 28, Jesus has so much to say. I see in the middle part of the chapter, in verse number 9, Jesus says, when they meet him, the resurrected Jesus says to them, all hail. It's one of the only places you see this documented in Scripture. And every one of his disciples, everybody that is present at this, do you know that when they see him again, it says some, they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. There was no doubting when they met Jesus that day. This whole chapter has a lot of awes. All hail the power of Jesus' name. There'll be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that this same Jesus is both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
Folks, they go on to say, and Jesus comes to them. Look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. He didn't say, you know, all but one. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, teach them what? He finishes up within verse 20. I told you they were a simple church. He answered the question, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, I've preached it before here, and just let me remind you, this is special to me. The preacher I grew up on, amen, the man that, I mean, preached and I got saved under, he would always turn to this scripture, and he said, you don't see always there. It's always. Because he's always going to be with us. He's going to go all the way through this life. Every step I take, everything that I need is meted out and measured, because all power was given unto him. He sent me the Holy Spirit. He knew every step I was going to take. He knew every challenge I was going to meet. He knew every place I was going to go. Hey, folks, you may, let me say it like this. You may, I'm going to switch over this mic, guys. I'm not from here. I didn't grow up in this local church, but I grew up in one a lot like it. And you know what I was thinking when I was a boy, before I was born, God knew that I would need a Bible college to train me that Jesus started the local church. I need that because I've read a lot of commentaries and a lot of them don't say that. I knew that God knew exactly what I would need for what he was going to have me do for him and his will. There's a lot of missionaries on the field that God needed a Bible college. There was a little church in Haines City with a group of people that knew that this same Jesus that had built churches all over the country could do the same thing right here. If God would send him a man and let the body work and work and work until Jesus grew his church. This didn't happen overnight. You're not looking at buildings and property that happened. When our preacher came here, God reached into a heart of a man and drug him back to a place that he thought a prophet doesn't have any honor in his own country. I can't go there and build anything. But Jesus brought him and his wife back to this place. Why? Because he knew that you needed a church. This same Jesus knew that I would need a church, that I would need a place to serve. And through the annals of time, before I was ever born, God picked a man and a woman up and moved them back to this place. And after I was born, and God had called me from my mother's womb to preach his gospel, this place started a Bible college. Amen. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know the preacher. I didn't know that things that are different are not the same. I didn't know anything. But this same Jesus did. And I'm so thankful that in all power and for really his great commission's sake, he saw people that had a mind to work. And he gave them a preacher that had vision and a mind to work. And when those two things happen, folks, God can use that for his honor and glory. Yeah, that gauge right there, you know what that is? That's a people with a mind to give.
Amen.
You see how the bus is? That's a bunch of people with a mind to work. 700 people in the auditorium when our sheriff came, 700 people. I thought, wow, what is that? Is that just the sheriff? No, that's a people with a mind to invite others to come and be with us. You know, we had people saved last week all over the property. Amen. And on Friday night too, when we didn't even have a church service, we was out there playing and eating chili. But the Great Commission was still being fulfilled even while we were having fun. You say, why does that happen? Because of this same Jesus. And folks, he's coming in like manner. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, he's given us everything we need, all power. Think about this. He's given us the direction and the authority to go to every nation on planet Earth, to send the gospel, to build churches, to do what he wants us to do. And then he says, I want you to go there and teach them everything that I taught you. He said, take my book to everybody in the world. We stand on the cusp of our missions month, and still there are thousands of people groups who do not have the Bible in their language. But we serve a God, this same Jesus. You know he knew that? Do you know that 1/3 of the world is learning English as we speak? And I do know that there's a book that's word perfect in English. You think that's by accident that God raised up a country that spoke a polyglot language, which means we borrowed everybody else's, that the world can't hardly even make sense of? One of the hardest languages in the world to actually make sense of. But God can perfectly do anything. And this same Jesus, and again, I know everybody that loves Greek and Hebrew, but one of the greatest miracles of planet Earth is that God took his word and put it into English. Perfectly for us today. Hey, folks, you say, what can this same Jesus do for us today? Everything that he's done in the past. All these buildings, all the properties, the college, you know that he can sustain them. He can grow them. He can do more than that. He can give us new ministries. He can give us more missionaries. This same Jesus. You know what he could do today if you'd let him? He could save you. This same Jesus. You know, when I was a boy, I heard about Jesus. And I heard about Jesus. And I heard about Jesus. And it wasn't until I was older that I put two and two together. You know, you don't have to be a teenager. You can be a young man. You don't have to be a young man. You can be an old man. But you know, that same Jesus that came from heaven and died on Calvary, he came to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. But I think all of us, if we were going to be right with God and walk with him, we would come to the place where we realize that he saved a sinner like me. You see, what do you mean? You know, Paul, I don't believe Paul went out and smoked and drank and hang up with people that chewed. And I mean, we could go through the list of things that we could list as sins. Whoremonger, fornicator. I mean, we could list all the things that we think of a person as chief. But you know what Paul was speaking of? He said, there was a time in my life that I hated Jesus Christ. That I fought against him and his church. There was a time when I spoke evil and blasphemed his name. And instead of saying, you know, he was a religious. I mean, he was a religious fanatic. But when he repented and got saved of being a Pharisee, for the rest of his life, he said, a sinner of whom I am chief. Folks, you know, I don't care where you come from. If you're a son born of Adam, say, what do you mean? I'm talking about if you are alive and breathing. That means you're a son of Adam, going all the way back to the garden. And that man sinned and passed sin upon all men. But this same Jesus came from heaven and died for every man. He paid every man's sin debt. He rose again so that every man, woman, boy, child, everybody that wanted to have eternal life could have it. could be born again into the family of God. Simple message this morning. But have you accepted this same Jesus? Do you know around the world, the sad thing about this, and even really in our country, do you know this same Jesus that we preach this morning is not always what's preached? There are people without a doubt in this room that have heard about a Jesus, but not the one that not only died to save, but rose again and will rule and reign someday and is coming back for his church. That is not always what is preached, but that is exactly this same Jesus has to be accepted for salvation. You can't accept Jesus plus baptism. You can't accept really any Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus and him alone. You're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I've accepted Jesus." Yes. Well, what are you doing with him? Are you serving this same Jesus? Are you giving to his cause? Do you march to the same beat of the same drum? Does this same Jesus have your heart like he used to? Or does something in the world have your heart? There are great things. There are good things in this world. There are politics, which we need to be involved in and be responsible about, but not like we are this same Jesus. There's business ventures and family and everything that we should be involved in, rightly so. But equally, this same Jesus. Folks, I just preaching this morning this simple thing. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to the one. This same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I was reading the scripture and really praying about what to preach this morning, and I thought about this. I almost preached on shipwrecked faith. And as I read about faith, it broke my heart. Jesus said, "When I return," and he's not talking about to rule and reign, but he's talking about his church. He said, "Will I find faith upon the earth?" You know what that means? That means people, a group of people that will still believe and practice the apostles' doctrine. See, we so loosely in this day use the term the faith. But you ought to finish it as the faith once delivered unto the saints. There are all types of belief, but there is only one faith delivered to the saints. And that is this same Jesus. Salvation and none other. Holy and solely given ourselves. I so wish that Christians talked the way our founding fathers did. That we, when we come into the church, that we bind ourselves together. Our futures, our families, and our sacred honor to fulfill the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you know it or not, folks, that's what it took to build this church. That's what it takes to build every church here on the mission field. And that's what it takes to build a bus route. That's what it takes to build a Sunday school class. That's what it takes to build a family. To give everything to Jesus Christ. To give it all. This same Jesus. You say, "What does Jesus want from me this morning, preacher? I'm saved and on my way to heaven." He wants all of you. And the greatest thing is, you think, "What is he going to do with me?" Exactly what you were made for. Exactly what you were made for. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the musicians come this morning, the invitation is this. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't know Christ, you've never been born again, why don't you come and accept him as your Savior? If you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I serve Jesus. I serve in his work." Listen, as we head into our missions month, why don't we just fall on our faces before a holy God and say, "God, you can have all of me again. I might have taken a little bit of me back, but this same Jesus that I surrendered to all those years ago, can have all of me again. Will you stand to your feet? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you to step out and come, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, this is an old-fashioned invitation. We're inviting you to step out and to come down to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I know you may have never been a part of anything like this in the past, but if you feel on the inside of you that God has spoken to you and that you need to accept Him, why don't you step out? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and folks are praying for you, why don't you come? Come down and just take my hand and we'll talk about eternity, about being born again. Well, one of the things that we would hate to see is someone come to church and listen to the preaching about this same Jesus, but leave and never accept Him as their own. As Brother Burt sings, why don't you step out and come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, folks are being dealt with, and I appreciate you being patient, but maybe you still need to come. The invitation is still open. The altar is still here. We still have Bibles, and we can still show you how you can know for sure that you can gain eternal life through accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, the invitation is to you today. Christians, while your heads are bowed and you're praying, why don't you pray for our nation? Why don't you pray for this election? I know we preach much about it, and I do realize that only Jesus can save these United States, but we should still vote the Bible. We should still get out and vote. It's going to matter. If the Lord tarries His coming, it's going to matter. So we need to vote. We need to pray for our nation that it'll turn back to Jesus Christ. As Brother Burt sings, you pray for our nation. If you're not saved, you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right, I appreciate you being so gracious, and if you'll be seated, I think we have something to share with you.